Hi, my name is Philippe Lemieux, and I'm the author of L'Histoire du cinéma en BD, a comic book series, and you're listening to True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book and graphic novel creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Philippe Lemieux about his ongoing education graphic novels about film history called L'Histoire du cinéma en BD and The State of Cinema Today. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, and YouTube Video. Please like and subscribe to that video channel. Born in the Ottawa region, Philippe Lemieux holds a master's degree in film studies from the Université de Montréal. He also taught cinema and journalism at Cégep de Saint-Jérôme since 1997. Author of the book L'image numérique au cinéma, published by Lamartine in 2012, he has also written numerous articles for the Quebec magazines Cinebull and Sequence. Philippe is also a columnist for various radio programs, including Début les comiques and CKOI, that's 96.9, and Tout au retour for CIME 103.9. With a passion for comic strips and desire to help young and old alike discover the world of cinema, he created the series L'Histoire du cinéma en BD in collaboration with illustrator Gary. So, without further ado, here's my chat with Philippe Lemieux about his ongoing education graphic novels about film history called L'Histoire du cinéma en BD, plus a little bit about the state of cinema today.
So Philippe Lemieux, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate your time. Before I get to all the questions, I would like to know, what was the first comic book that you read?
Well, I was maybe 10 years old when I went to the drugstore. And at that time, because I'm over 50 now, comic books were on like rotating racks, like these metal racks. There was an issue of Amazing Spider-Man, which caught my eye because he was wearing a black costume. And I remember distinctly that he wore a red and blue costume in the animated series that I watched on TV at the time. So I was a little confused and I thought he looked good in the black costume. And so I bought that issue. It was a 6-issue run where he was up against Kraven the Hunter. And I got hooked. And then I found out there were other Spider-Man series. And so I started buying those. And then I fell into other characters. Since then, I've been a lifelong fan of comic books.
That's amazing. That's a great one to get started with, the whole Venom storyline and Kraven.
Man, yeah,
that's a good time for sure. Well, with that in mind, I'm wondering who or what inspires you to create today?
Well, later on in life, I discovered the European comic books, the classics such as Tintin, Asterix. And I read all of those because I'm perfectly bilingual. I'm from the Outaouais region, so I can read as comfortably in French as in English, which is really great for comic books because some of them, they're not all available in both languages. And so it's great to be able to read both. But I'm a very big fan of Frank Miller's work. I've always liked what he's done. Neil Gaiman, obviously. I was there when they published the first run of the Sandman comic book, and I have issues 1 through 100, like in mint condition, which I bought the day they came out. So I remember those quite vividly. Alan Moore, obviously, is also a reference. So, I mean, the big names, the ones that, you know, usually pop up when you speak to real comic book geeks.
Absolutely. No, those are great books to have and great influences for sure. We recently met at the Montreal Comic Arts Festival. It was a great event and I still can't get over how great it is. And I talk it up to everybody. I think it's a great, great place for people to go. And we talked briefly about your graphic novel series, The History of Cinema in graphic novel form. I wonder if you could talk a wee bit about that.
All right. Well, as you said, it's called The History of Cinema. And my ultimate ambition is to publish 10 books. Right now, we have 3 that are available, and we're working on the 4th, which will be coming out in 2025. Since I'm a film teacher, my actual job is teaching film. I've been doing it for 27 years. I got the idea as I was teaching my classes and telling all these stories to my students that, you know, it would make a really good comic book series because there's so many rumors and stories and interesting anecdotes around filmmaking and around the history of cinema. You know, for example, just the fact that Charlie Chaplin once went to a lookalike contest for his character, obviously, and he didn't even end up in the top three. So,
oh my.
And that's a true story. He wrote that in his biography. So I said, someone must have gotten this idea before I. And so I went online, I checked in French and English and other languages to see if there was a comic book that told the history of film in the way that I wanted it. There wasn't. There was biographies. There was, books on certain periods in film history, but nothing on the entire history of film, not in a pedagogical way that I wanted to present it. And so I decided, well, all right, I'll do it then. And so the history of cinema is really accurate. The series tells the real story of the movies. The first issue is all about how the image started to move. So we're talking about Thomas Edison, the Lumière brothers, obviously Georges Méliès in France, who did A Trip to the Moon, which everyone mm-hmm. knows. Mm-hmm. The second volume is all about Hollywood and the famous mimes, such as Charlie Chaplin, obviously, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd. And then the third is the beginning of horror cinema in German Expressionism. So obviously, we're going to talk about Caligari, Nosferatu, Metropolis, which is one of my favorite films of all time. And we even get into the Universal era with Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, and all of those famous monsters that everyone likes. So those are the three books that are out. And everything that's said or presented in the books is real. It's the actual history of film, but done in a funny comic book kind of way.
Wow, that's amazing. I wish I could be in your class. If that's what you're teaching. That's amazing. I wish I had that growing up. So you are the author of these books. I'm wondering, who is your artist collaborator?
His name is Gary. When I got the idea for the book at first, I didn't know him yet. I didn't even have someone to draw, and I can't draw myself. So I wrote the first script in its entirety, and then I published on Facebook on a page in Quebec that all the artists are on, that I needed someone to draw this series for me. I actually did some interviews. I met a first person who was very nice and talented, but we just, it didn't click as I wanted it to. And I knew that this series would take 15, 20 years ultimately to get done. And the second person I met is Gary. We're the same age. We've seen the same films. And what I liked the most is neither of us had ever published in the comic book field. So I needed him and he needed me to kind of make our childhood dream come true. And so together we got into this. That's how we met. And that's how we're still working together today.
That's amazing. It's very tough these days to find an artist who gels with what you're trying to do. So I applaud you for finding the right person that you can.
I was very lucky.
Yes, indeed. Now, you mentioned, you hinted that there are a number of books. Now, will the series continue, I guess, beyond, here we are today? I mean, who knows what will happen in the future, but do you have like a set plan for this series?
I do. All 10 volumes are planned in my head and also on paper. I haven't written all 10 scripts, though, but I can say that volume 4 is drawn, I'd say, about 70%. So it's official that it will be released in 2025 for sure. The scripts for number 5 and 6, they're done. They're finished. I've written them. And so I'm getting to work on number 7 now, but I have time since, the drawings actually take longer than the scripts to get done. But the plan is to get to 10 volumes, by which time I'll be up to Quentin Tarantino's 10th film and where we'll be in cinema history at that time.
Who knows? Who knows? Now, I wanted to ask you about the audience for your books. When I visit with you in Montreal at the Montreal Comic Arts Festival, your books are in French. I presume that's the audience. And is it for students who you're teaching to, or is it broader than that?
Well, it's broader than that because I teach in CEGEP, which is like 17 to 20-year-olds in Quebec. But I actually write it for a younger audience. The whole point is to introduce film history to young readers. Let's say 10 years and older, about the age of my son here. I can't in 44 pages really say everything there is to say about film history. So the point is just to make them curious and then maybe they'll go further and maybe eventually become one of my students in film classes. But some parents have come to me and said, we read the first volume together. And then I went on YouTube and I showed them movies from the Lumière brothers, which are like, 45 seconds long. And I showed them Trip to the Moon by Méliès. And otherwise, I don't think, they would have had that idea to go see a film that's 120-something years old. But because they read the book, they said, oh, let's see the movie. And hey, I like that. And, getting young people to like black and white movies, silent black and white movies. It's not an easy thing. And so when parents tell me this, I say, okay, well, that's mission accomplished for me, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. To tell my kids to look at a black and white film is like telling them to jump over the moon.
No.
but there's a whole category of film noir that would be missed. Casablanca, great films that were shot in black and white.
Absolutely.
That if we don't address this and get them in front of them, they'll just ignore it completely, which would be a shame.
Completely. I agree.
Yeah. Before we started talking, I noticed your sincere interest in film, and I wanted to get your take on the current state of cinema. I'm hearing from various people on podcasts that the shape of the box office is really bad. The movies coming out today are not generating the revenue that they were hoping for. I wanted to get your take on it. Do you think we're in a bad state right now? Where is cinema going?
That's a really loaded question. It's a very interesting question. You know, it's important to learn about film history because all of cinema history is all about these moments where there was a crisis. For example, when silence became movies with sound. And, you know, obviously all the mimes like Chaplin, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd would be out of a job in a couple of years. And even people working in movie theaters like musicians, for example, or the narrators that were present in movie theaters as well, they all lost their jobs. So things changed. And then television came along in 1953, and people were saying, well, why would we go to the movies if we can get, you know, moving images at home for free? So then the movies, you know, they added color, they added large screens like CinemaScope. They started making big, big movies with special effects like the Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur. And then there was, in the 80s, my generation, well, there was pay TV. We could see the movies at home now. So, holy crap, why would people go to the theaters? But we found out that, no, actually, there was more people going to the movies because more people were seeing movies. And we would watch the first movie on pay TV and then go see the sequel in the theater. And they just kind of, you know, they worked together. Now, there's more product being produced than ever before. It's just the way that it's being consumed that's changed. I think, and I don't want to be alarmist or anything, but I think people won't be going to the movie theaters for very much longer. I think that's something that will not exist in 50 years from now. I think people will consume movies at home through streaming services, but there's more movies being made than ever before. And some of it on Netflix, on Disney Plus or elsewhere is a very good quality, a very high quality. And they started to get nominated for Oscars. They started winning Oscars as well. Big directors have gone on to work in those fields, and it's a generational thing. Eventually, all the old directors that refuse to change will be gone, and a new generation that's been brought up on this technology will make movies destined for the television screen at home, and that will be just another transformation because film isn't going to the movie theaters. Film is the actual movie, the work of art that we're watching, and it's important to remember that. But that's, you know, a personal point of view.
No, that's very valid. That's for sure. That's for sure. In fact, I was listening to the Fat Man Beyond podcast just on my way home today with Mark Bernardin, and the question was brought up about, will movies transform into spectacles, just like we go to the theater? Some theater goers pay up to $100 to see a live event. Perhaps it'll get to that point where, you know, yes, you can consume it at home for what, streaming for 20 a month, but if you want to see the big, huge spectacle of the new movie, you might have to pay $100 or so.
Well, you know, if it becomes something that's rare, something that's, you know, special, then yeah, that's the possibility for, you know, right now we have that, for example, when movies are played with an orchestra. So, you know, we have this in Montreal, they'll play, you know, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Star Wars, but with a live orchestra. And that's a whole other experience. It's something amazing. It's almost $100 ticket. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's an event. It's something special, something different.
You were recently in Halifax for something called the Hackmatack Awards. I wonder if you could talk a wee bit about that.
Yeah, it was just last weekend in Halifax, which I visited for the first time, for the very first time. I loved it. The Hackmatack Children's Choice Awards is literary awards which are voted on by kids in schools in the Maritimes. And they read all the nominated books. There are several categories, both fiction and documentary, both in English and French. And once a year, and this was the 25th year, the awards are handed out. And I was invited to go talk to students in two different elementary schools over there. So I went and I presented them, you know, the comic book series and spoke about the history of film. I showed them clips of Chaplin and Buster Keaton. The ceremony was held on Friday, May 31st. The volume 2 of my series won the Hackmatack Children's Choice Award for Best Documentary Book in French. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Congratulations. That's terrific.
It is.
Sure. Well, what sort of reaction did you get from the kids when you were started talking about the Chaplin films and the black and whites? Any anecdotal sort of feedback?
Well, you know, when I start talking before I show the clips, they're always a bit dubious about these old movies. And I can see it in their faces. They're like, who's this guy? Why are we talking about this old stuff? But once I get to show them, for instance, Harold Lloyd hanging on to that clock 50 stories up, their eyes, you know, they become like open wide and they're like impressed. And then I show them, you know, how these stunt performers, these mimes, did things that still today are referenced in other movies. I show them, for example, Jackie Chan, who does some of the similar stunts. There's a movie in which Harold Lloyd jumps onto the front of a truck. And then I show them the same scene in Indiana Jones. And they go, oh, well, it comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Even the director of the most recent Spider-Man movie, he said in an interview that he went back and watched a lot of the Buster Keaton films because Buster Keaton, he's a stone-faced character. He has no emotion. And the problem with directing a Spider-Man movie is that you have a character who has no face, who has just two big eyes. And so you have to convey emotion through mime, through body language. And that's what they did at that time. And so it's to make, you know, these old movies relevant today to the young kids, that's what I try to do. And I can tell their reaction. They're like discovering this for the first time and they're starting to like it and enjoy it. And maybe they'll go in and watch one of those old films.
Never know. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we've been talking about the history of comics. I know that we've been talking about the history of cinema and I know you're busy with school. Do you have any other projects on the go that you have time for that are on the go?
Well, teaching's done for the summer. I got to say I'm on vacation. So that's good. I also do radio spots at the local radio station here on new movies that come out. I'm also working on another script. I haven't decided yet where that's going, so I can't say much about
it. Okay.
But yeah, I do keep busy.
Good. Glad to hear. So with everything that you've got on the go, where do you recommend that people go online to find out about your current and your future projects?
All right. Where the comic books in French are available at Édition Michel Quintin, which is my publisher. We have both a Facebook and an Instagram page. All you do is type in l'histoire du cinéma en BD in French, and you'll find the pages with absolutely no problem.
Sounds good. Well, those are all the questions I have for you, but I'm wondering, is there something I didn't ask that you'd like to get across in this interview?
You know, I just hope that people listening to the podcast who read French will be interested in the series, and if not, we're hoping to translate it in English very soon and get it out there so that all the Anglophones in Canada and elsewhere can also get a chance to read it.
Thanks to Philippe for the chat. You can discover more about Philippe Lemieux on Instagram at instagram.com/histoire du cinéma en BD. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Remember to check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. True North Country Comics is on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that video channel and hit the notification button. You can follow along at True North Country Comics on most social media sites. Remember, you can send any and all feedback to John at TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2024.